Hi everybody, I'm Louise Eddington, the Cosmic Owl of Cosmic Owl Astrology, and I am here today with my friend and fellow astrologer and tarot reader, Dawn Hild, and we are going to put this on both our channels. So it will be on my YouTube channel, Cosmic Owl Astrology, for those of you watching on Dawn's, if you'd come over and check out mine. And Dawn, tell us about you and your channel as well.
Yes, thank you very much, Louise. I started my channel officially about a month ago. As far as getting started with it, at least I'm doing zodiac tarot readings right now, and I will be including astrology. I think probably once a month as far as readings for everyone. But we have wanted to collaborate on this particular subject because it hits both of our charts in very profound ways, and it's just telling a story of healing going over decades and decades of time. So, and then even into the future, it's going to be a very interesting little seminar that we're having here.
It is. And actually, I think as well, I suspect that we may discover more things along the way that are connected to what we're talking about. So we may come back and do a follow-up as well. But we're going to share some slides. So, if you're watching on YouTube, feel free to take a screenshot of the dates and things. But I'm just going to share the slides and we'll kind of dive into this and we'll just wrap about it. So this actually came from a call that was in my membership community, and Dawn and I were like, we're both seeing all these things, so we're gonna have to do something. So Dawn came up with a great name for this. So we're calling it Fools and Lovers, and this is from the Lightseers Tarot. So the Fool card and the Lovers card are numbered 0 and 6, and that kind of gives you a bit of a hint about where we're going. And I'm just going to say quickly, but Dawn is more of the tarot reader than me. I don't do full tarot readings, but the Fool card is represented by Uranus, the planet Uranus, and the Lovers is the Gemini card. So that's quite relevant for where we're going as well. So, Dawn, do you just want to talk about your favorite deck and these two lovely cards? From that.
This is the Lightseers deck, and I love the imagery of that particular deck. It's a little bit more modern take and very free spirited, beautiful coloring of everything that's in the deck. And it's the Fool is very much related to the hero's journey. So zero is starting out with nothing. But basically, it comes on your back, and a dog usually is a companion as you move forward, with zero expectations of what's going on in the future. And then, of course, the lovers being usually the lovers is also considered a decision card. You have to make a choice, and very often it is whether to go forward or not, pretty much, with the lovers card. So, and we have.
Also, yeah, go on. No, go on.
They're represented, I think, in what we're looking at with Mars and Venus and Chiron and Chariclo.
Definitely. And the fact the nodes, the moon's nodes are in Venus and Mars ruled signs, and they were previously. But just a couple of other things, because I go quite a lot to the esoteric Thoth or Thoth tarot deck. The Lovers in that deck is really about union of all opposites. It's not just about, everybody always thinks the Lovers is just about men and women. But we have to remember that we all have Venus and Mars within us, right? So this is about union of all opposites. And I love this deck that it's got this here on her arm as well, because I believe that's Cupid's arrow. And isn't Cupido the one of the asteroids involved in some of this somewhere as well. So,
It's Aquarius. It's in Aquarius. And I heard another astrologer speaking about how he feels, because it's in Aquarius, that we're going to be doing things that we love with our tribe.
But also, I think it's about that connection within. Going back to my favorite topic of self-care and learning to self-actualize and self-love yourself, it's about becoming into wholeness within as well. And then, you're more able to be in these healthy relationships. So there's more to the tarot than most people think. I also love that zero, the four is the zero number, is the alpha and omega. It's infinite possibilities. So, and that's what we're heading into. We really are. So let's dive on. Okay, we are first going to talk about a 0 degree Aquarius because it's really hot this week. We had the Mars Pluto conjunction yesterday, early on Valentine's Day here in the US. And then Venus is moving into Aquarius tomorrow. We're recording this on the 15th of February and going to conjunct Pluto at that 0 mark on the 17th. But this has been something that's really been building since 2020. And we all know what happened at the start of 2020. After a huge conjunction of Saturn and Pluto at 22 Capricorn, and Ceres and the Sun and Mercury were all there at 22 Capricorn, Saturn and Mars moved on, and they first met at 0 Aquarius. And then they were followed by what's called the Great Mutation. Jupiter and Saturn meet every 20 years, pretty much on the button, and every 200 years they change element. So this was a change into 200 years of Air Jupiter Saturn conjunctions, so it's called the Great Mutation. And then we had Venus and Mars meeting at 0 Aquarius, but we're going to be looking at the next Venus and Mars one too. But then look at what's happening this week. This is well, since the Sun moved into Aquarius on January the 20th, just ahead of Pluto, we're having this Aquarius influx and overload. And I'm finding it that it is kind of blowing my socks off, to be quite honest. I'm finding it very electric, like a very Aquarian in that way. But everything seems to be moving very fast. There's so much going on, so many pieces. I always think of Aquarius as a bit like lots of puzzle pieces coming in and having to juggle a lot, a little bit like the four is juggling in this card in the top tarot. So what's your kind of feel about this heavy or big influx of Aquarius that's incoming right now?
I believe that Pluto is transforming all of these elements. Mercury, to start with, for communication. And of course, that also plays into other things besides relationships, innovations and inventions and all those things. And Mars and Venus, though, I think it's very much related to, because Pluto's a transformational planet, that Mars and Venus are getting that transformation in order, I believe, when they join for us within, because you had already spoken of this, and I totally agree that we have to do the healing within ourselves in order to have those better, higher relationships that are out there. But you're not going to get that relationship unless you've done the work within yourself. So you have to be a vibrational match for the person that you're wanting to be with. So the important thing is this transformational energy, I think, is transforming the planets before they join together. And I think that's why it's going to be such a huge difference.
Oh, it's just going to be massive. And just to talk about just this week again, or let's talk about this week and starting January the 20th. The Sun, Mercury, Mars, and Venus are all personal planets. And of course, we did have a new moon in Aquarius in there as well. That was at 20 Aquarius. So the moon also came into Aquarius and joined Pluto after Pluto ingressed into Aquarius. And so this is when I say personal planets, for those who are not astrologers, that is the closest to Earth planets. And they are the ones that are really affecting the personal parts of us that are inside. You know, the slower moving planets right out to Pluto, they're more collective. They're slower moving, their transformation is over time. But this, having all of this in Aquarius at the same time is just quite astounding, to be quite honest. Yeah.
And the
I think
personal
Dawn and I have both looked back and yeah.
planets. Well, and the personal planets are also the ones that you can see with the naked eye. So,
Yes. Yeah.
and my understanding is that the sun is not going to be meeting again Aquarius in 0 degrees because it has to make
No, it's
that
not.
journey. So it's not going to be meeting Pluto again at that degree. So it's the start of something brand new. I
Yeah.
know that technically the age of Aquarius isn't supposed to be starting for another 150 years, but it's just like with anything else, you get that ingress into things and you feel that vibrational thing happening already about the changes coming in.
I will say it depends who you listen to. Some astrologers say it's already started.
Oh.
So I actually read one astrologer who reckoned it started in the 1400s, and I'm like, what? My theory is it began to come in after Uranus discovery, when that was in 1781, and we are going to look at that chart in a minute. And Uranus is the modern ruler of Aquarius. I use both rulerships. Saturn works for Aquarius as well. And I'm actually very Aquarian in nature that I even question the term ruler. But Uranus is definitely very Aquarian. So, and it's that 0 degree at full card coming in. One last conjunction we're going to get at 0 degrees Aquarius is at the end of this year. And you can see by this that Venus is conjunct Pluto this week, February the 17th. And then she goes right round the zodiac and back into Aquarius and meets Pluto one more time at 0 Aquarius. But then my favorite series is there as well, which is actually a dwarf planet. Please don't call it an asteroid. I'm writing a book on Ceres and another book as well at the moment. But my theory is Ceres is a missing personal planet anyway. So this is all the personal planets meeting Pluto at 0 Aquarius. I think this is, if the age of Aquarius didn't start to come in when Uranus was discovered, how can we deny that it's kind of coming in this year?
And isn't the series in between Mars and Jupiter in that asteroid belt? Is that where she's located at? Okay.
Yes, she is. She's in the asteroid belt, which is why she got called an asteroid, but she's not like all the other asteroids. The asteroids are rocks. She actually is more planetoid in shape, and she has water in the center and thing, all these other kind of planetary things. My theory is that she is kind of the missing kind of mother energy in our planetary makeup, and that all the other asteroids are kind of there to protect her. Anyway, more to come on that in my book, but so that's where we're starting. So to us, we were like, this is astounding, all these 0 degrees. But then we were talking, and we saw other things. But first, we're going to just look and just show you where on the charts a couple of the big conjunctions have been coming out. I did actually put below this one. So that was the March 2020. We had that Saturn Mars conjunction at zero Aquarius. And that was really the first in this series of zero Aquarius conjunctions. But the next Mars Saturn conjunction was at on April the 4th, 2022, at 22 Aquarius. And guess who's there? Ceres. So they keep kind of speaking to each other and being at the same degrees, all these Aquarius degrees. So, but we're not going to get lost in the weeds of 22 Aquarius. So we'll ignore that for now. I just wanted you to know Ceres is important. And then this was the great mutation that many astrologers talked about. And this was a huge point of change with involving Neptune opposing asteroid Vesta and both squaring the nodes, immutable signs. So that's change coming anyway. So anything you want to say about those charts?
Well, I think at this point it's much more of a, you can see that the sun was at 0 degrees in Sagittarius. But I think as things move over into the other charts, we'll probably get a better idea of looking at the 0 and 6 degrees for that whole fool's journey. I know that there were I'm the number of people that predicted that there was going to be a massive change in the world way ahead of that was astounding. And that was long before I really dove deep into astrology myself when I decided to become a professional astrologer. But going back, all really good astrologers are fantastic historians. I mean,
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, you know, astrologers have been talking about it. Where I came to a lot of what we're going to talk about in the 6 degree thing was because a commenter on my YouTube channel mentioned human design and a certain date in that we're going to look at in 2027. And I looked at it, I was like, oh.
and then the
And
wheels
so
started turning for both of us very much. Yes.
Yeah, they did. But you know, I we've started with the 0 degree because it is that first card in the Fool's Journey. We're clearly at this point launching into something very different, very special. Anyway, we'll move on for a minute
Yeah,
unless you want
definitely
there's
world.
anything.
No, we can move on, but it's definitely indicated a world change. It was a world change that was taking.
So this is the slide with all the 6 degree marks on it. I did cheat and go a little bit to just into 7 degrees because, you know, they're very close and quite related. So it might make your head, you know, spin a little bit if you don't know a lot of astrology, but I just want you to see that back in 1781, this is the discovery date of the planet Uranus that broke the paradigm of our known visible universe. Because as Dawn said, until that point, you know, we only knew out to Saturn, which were the visible planets. But then telescopes were invented, and although I kind of have a theory that maybe some of the very ancients could, in their very dark skies, did see beyond Saturn a little bit, but we'll. Yeah, well, you
Well,
know.
and an interesting aside to this is that Pluto was in Aquarius then, but
Then.
Pluto was in Aquarius when Uranus was discovered, but there's also all these ties in with that period of the always like that 20-year period of time, because that's usually what it runs when it's in that particular sign. And it's also when you have these mind, and I think we're going to be expecting that that's part of this fool's journey that everybody's going to be going on, because way back then, at one point, Copernicus, and I think that was in the 1500s, was saying how how this mind-bending idea that it's not the planets that go around the Earth, it's the planets go around the sun. And honestly, he didn't publish that till almost his death because it was considered so ludicrous that it was just no one believed it. And I think we're going to come up with facts in the future. I have no idea what they are, but we're going to be coming up with facts in the future that are going to be that same kind of mind-blowing discovery. Because
I agree.
Copernicus, I think, used a telescope which had just been invention in order to discover, and that's when Uranus was discovered. Not that he discovered it, but
No,
that,
but
but it got discovered because of a telescope that was invented.
And it was called the Copernican Revolution for good reason, because it revolutionized how we saw our consciousness, our known universe, the cosmos, everything. But this was the date of the discovery of Uranus, and we will look at the chart. And Pluto was at 6 degrees, 9 minutes Aquarius. But I do want to say that we didn't know Pluto existed then. So, and he did. He came into our consciousness after that in 1930. And so when Pluto, we'll look at when he returns to that same degree, 6 degrees Aquarius. This is the first time he'll be at that degree since we've known he exists. And most astrologers agree that when we are aware of the energy of a planet, I hate to call it discovered because they were always there. But anyway, but when they're in our consciousness, they start to change us and the world. Like psychology came in with the discovery of Pluto after 1930. Freud and Jung and all that kind of stuff. With Uranus, it started, developing things to do with electricity and, eventually, the internet and all that kind of wave energy, really. So, there's a lot more could be said about that.
And a lot of times they say that we discover or they come into our consciousness when we're ready for them, when we're ready to incorporate that into our own consciousness and not unconscious. So any new discoveries are something that we always, just like the asteroids and the centaurs and the Kuiper belt objects now, all of those things.
Yeah, exactly. But then we have these other dates following that were all at or very close to 6 degrees. Now, most of our audience are probably in the USA. This was clearly a revolutionary time, 1781. I think that was when the Constitution was written or ratified. And I'm not very clear on all those dates, not being from the USA originally. But, and we can clearly see that what's happening in the world now, not just in the USA, but in the USA a lot, is that we're in this kind of revolutionary time now. We can hope that it won't be a violent revolution. People tend to fight more with ideas and cyber attacks and things like that more these days. But who knows? It could be. But one other thing I do want to mention, and I'm only going to mention it briefly, is that 6 Aquarius is the south node of the USA. So, USA is really being changed. I think this is more important than our Pluto return and our Chiron return, to be honest, because the degree is so hot. So we
Well,
can see that, yeah, go on.
and then on a side note, having all of the eclipses that are going across the country as full eclipses, and that we won't have another full eclipse again, what, until like the 19, until the 2040s, that is going to be
I
in
see,
the
yeah.
United States, I believe, is the are the dates. So I think that that is very significant. I also think a lot of the changes that we're going to see with Aquarius are going to be right up front at the beginning. So, be prepared to have your socks knocked off a little bit, because I just like when Pluto entered Capricorn, almost immediately all of the banking information, all of the deep secrets and everything started coming out, and that transformation started taking place. And then by the time we, were closing out, there were regulations put in place and all these other things that happened because of Pluto going in and digging out all the muck. And it's going to be the same with Aquarius, where it's probably going to have a lot of stuff coming very, very, very quickly. And then we're going to have to learn how best can we regulate the internet if, when we don't know what's true or not. Those kind of things are all going to have to come up.
And AI and robotics and all those things. But also with Aquarius being very much kind of a group sign, it's tribes, clans, whatever you want to call those words. It's the people, really, Aquarius. It's people, like new alliances are likely to be made. But of course, it's also invention as well. Aquarius is very related to like clean energy because it's got that kind of wave energy to it. So I think there's going to be huge discoveries in clean energy. Nothing,
Oh yes.
like we don't know it, what's coming yet, to be quite honest. So
I think that's very true. I think
and
very, very true. Yeah.
yeah, and we always have free will as to whether we embrace it or resist it, and we can see both sides at the moment. So anyway,
And the nice part
so
about Aquarius, the collective of Aquarius, is Aquarius collective welcomes individuality. It's not like the Libra
yes.
collective that is more like, oh, let's everybody be the same. No,
No.
we want people that are different and free thinkers, and then you bring that to the collective so we can make it better and everybody's accepted.
Yeah, and you all communicate with each other because it's an air sign. So, and I also think it's kind of like agreements and constitutions and things. I'm convinced, they're going to be constitutions rewritten. And stuff during this period, or at least major amendments to them. We'll see, I guess, if I'm right or if we're right. So then moving on to, so that was, the last time that Pluto was in Aquarius, and we had these conjunctions at 6 and 7 degrees. Again, Sun, Mercury, Venus, no Mars at that point. So this time is more than that time, if you know what I mean. It's like there's even more going on than was happening back in those early 1780s. So in 1977, Centaur Chiron, the wounded healer, most people have heard of Chiron, was discovered in 1977. But he normally travels between the orbit of Saturn and Uranus. So Saturn was the old boundary of our known universe. Then Uranus kind of blew that open, with thanks to telescopes and things. But in January of 1992, Chiron crossed Saturn's orbit, it within the visible realm of our naked eye, at 6 degrees Leo, which is the opposite point of 6 degrees Aquarius. And then in 1997, Centaur Carriclo was discovered, and at 6 degrees of Leo too, just 5 years later. I just think I always think he was introducing his wife because they were really like a healing team. They're medicine people.
And they play a very big role in what's going on right now because they're so involved in the astrology right now. It's just amazing how much healing that they're going to be bringing with into Venus and Mars and that conjunction as well. And we'll get to that in a few more slides.
We will, but just to talk about the healing with the Venus and Mars, it's going back to that lovers again. It's these, the sacred couples with the, we personify these planets as to into men and women, but this is about bigger than that. This is kind of about coming together in that Aquarian way. So anyway, then in 2022, we had the previous Venus Mars conjunction, and we're really going to look at the next Venus Mars conjunction. So that was at that zero Aquarius point. But on the same day as Venus and Mars were last conjunct in 2022, Cariclo had reached kind of her full moon thing, if you like. She was at six Aquarius, the opposite degree of her discovery degree. So again, just
Isn't that
all
amazing
coming.
to me? That is so amazing. Right, just
Yeah.
right there. Just right there.
I
It's
know.
to me, this was the beginning of that Venus Mars starting to get the work of healing just beginning. To start, all right, this is the starting point. This is the zero. This is the fool's journey, the fool's card right here.
Definitely. It really is. And then in well, it's coming up very soon, February the 22nd, next week, a week today, in fact, at 6 degrees Aquarius, Venus and Mars have their next conjunction, which is at opposite that Cariclo, I spelt that wrong there, discovery point. And then just a couple of other things looking ahead. February 2027, Pluto returns to 6 degrees Aquarius, where he was on the day of the discovery of Uranus. And then we have in 2028, we have some more conjunctions, two at 6 degrees and a couple at 7 degrees with Pluto, that just seem like almost like finishing up the transformation to me.
Oh, yes. And I think by the time we get to that time of 2028, and I think wasn't it the date February 28th, 28th, 2027. Okay, we'll look at that later. But what I was thinking too is with this date of February 22nd, 2024 coming up, is that one of the things that's happening on that day as well is right before they go exact Venus and Mars, the moon goes over and activates Cariclo's discovery point just beforehand. So the moon will be going over that spot just before Venus and Mars go completely exactly conjunct. Like I'm the same day, the same day. Like,
Oh,
yeah.
it's only 2 degrees. The moon will only have moved 2 degrees, right, by the time of the conjunction. So I think we've actually probably got that slide now.
Yeah,
So we're
it's at 8 degrees
Oh, I
at the
think I
time of
went
the
to
conjunction. Yeah, it is.
Okay, so this was the Venus Mars conjunction back on March the 6th, 2022. And this was Cariclo at 6 Aquarius. We mentioned it on the list, but I wanted you to kind of see it visibly. Okay. And you know, there's probably a few things we could say about that. I would love to say that Cariclo was in a lovely air trine to Ceres. There she is again. She's always around. And I put Cupido in, which is an asteroid I don't usually use, but not long before all of this, Cupido, you know, Cupid's arrow, she was on the arm in that lover's card that we looked at on the first slide. Cupid's arrow just passed over that discovery degree of Cariclo as well. So they just all seem to be working together, working in tandem, to my mind.
And
But yeah, go on then.
Cupido is also trine Chiron. If you look down, Chiron's at 10 in Aries.
Oh, gosh. Oh,
And
yes, it's
so it's
almost
a,
exactly.
yeah, it's, yeah, it's almost exact. So, I think you have all of that coming in. I mean, it's just kind of working so together with everything. And
It
again,
really is.
starting at that beginning, that's that 0 degrees of Venus and Mars, and that's like that beginning of that healing going to be taking place. To me, it says that every time I look at it.
I know. Oh, me too. And just to, I mentioned it before, but back in that conjunction, Mars is the traditional ruler of Scorpio, and Venus is the ruler of Taurus. So the nodes were in Venus and Mars ruled signs. And fast forward to next week when we have the next Venus Mars conjunction at 6 degrees. This is what Dawn was talking about. The moon had just gone over six Leo, but the nodes are in Libra and Aries, which are Mars and Venus ruled again, or the other way around. Libra is Venus, Mars is Aries. But look at Chiron and Carrot-Clo at 14 degrees, Chiron at 16. They're pretty much in a sextile. And Chiron is on the North Node, which is where we're heading, where we're longing to go towards, where we're yearning to move towards. So they're
And
working
Chiron,
together again.
and Chiron, thank you for the healing. And because I think Caraclo and Chiron have been so involved in all these 0 and 6 degrees all along, that is bringing in all of this healing energy that is going on. So I think this coming up, it's not just, I think it the work first is within us, and then with the collective. I feel that is where everything is going at this point, but there's so much healing energy, especially it's not very often that you have the North Node and Chiron conjunct, and then have it having being a sextile to his wife, and then Mars and Venus. This is where the fools part, I mean the fools and lovers part comes in, where you still have just went to 1 degree of Aquarius at on that day. So it's again, beginnings, and beginning of healing, with the moon and at the previous discovery point of Caraclo up in Leo.
And I think Dawn is I think spot on, about saying it's about healing ourselves first, and that ripples out to the collective. And I write daily on Substack, Cosmic Owl Astrology, if you want to follow, it's free. But I talk a lot about the new kind of healing modalities, about healing generational trauma and like all kinds of things like internal family systems or parts work. EMDR is another one. Some people are using, this psychedelic assisted therapy. There's other therapeutic approaches. But honestly, these modalities have started to come in with this as we approach this really Aquarian time. And they're really taking off now, these really new ideas. And the focus of all of them is really about balancing the vagus nerve, which runs from the brain down to the roots, through the heart, through the chakras, by the way. Anyway, and really about healing yourself and coming into balance and wholeness before you can kind of go and help fix the world. You can't fix the world if you're not kind of feeling coming from a whole place. You can't be in healthy relationships, as Dawn said, right at the start. So, these degrees, again, every chart we could actually say a heck of a lot more, but I do want to point one thing out. I've just noticed. And this is dwarf planet Haumea, which is in an ongoing square with Pluto from 13 exact squares, number of the goddess. But anyway, going till 2028. So that square, the Pluto Haumea square, is lasting until all these conjunctions finish, as we looked at. But Haumea is at 2 degrees Scorpio. So you'll see that important in a minute. So I'll show you. And I hadn't noticed that before. So don't want to spring anything on you. But.
And Aquarius too, being one of the healing modalities, is that we're getting a lot more into vibrational therapy and sound healing. All of those things are coming up, and have even in what they consider modern medicine, it's right. How many years have they been doing ultrasound therapy where they break up stones so that they? I
I
mean,
know.
it's just going to be coming more and more and more as we are moving further into Aquarius. There's going to be so many changes.
And integrative therapies too, to use another word. That's very Aquarian too, the mixing a lot of the allopathic and the so-called, esoteric woo kind of things. That's all very quantum. It's just quantum energy as well. But look at this is the Uranus discovery chart. So we kind of talked about this where Pluto is at six Aquarius, but look where Pluto was when on Uranus discovery, square the nodes, and the nodes were in Venus and Mars ruled signs again. Mars ruling Scorpio, Venus ruling Taurus. And guess who was conjunct the North Node back then? Chiron, the wounded healer again. It's just astounding to me. And incidentally, quick one, Uranus was at 24 Gemini, the lovers, conjunct Hygieia, which is holistic healing, and opposing Mars.
Yeah.
So in it, you know, we've been in a very yang paradigm, and by that I say yang rather than masculine, because it's not about men. But we have been in this very day energy, yang energy, hierarchical control, dominance, almost all the shadow of the divine masculine for quite a long time. And Uranus, it seems, and Pluto came in to shift that, because when Pluto squared the nodes, that's a big turning point, right? Even though we didn't know Pluto existed at that point. So, anything else you'd like to say about that chart? Quite
Well,
astounding again.
Pluto leaving Capricorn as well, once it got out of Capricorn, even though it will be backing into it briefly, to me, it's kind of like a few more tasks to finish up before it completely leaves. But I feel like that is a lot of those breaking down the last of those hierarchical type what's the word I'm looking for?
Structures,
Signatures, yeah,
paradigms.
signatures, yeah, and structures, and st Capricorn being structures, yes. The breaking down those structures. Honestly, I feel that a lot of the, the big business models are going to be changed drastically in Aquarius. I think it's going to go to much more of a communal level of commerce.
I think so. Cooperatives, that kind of thing as well, more. Although, again, I think it's going to be things we haven't actually thought of much
Yeah,
before, but
I agree.
cool. So here is the discovery, and I'll just move our video, because this is the Uranus discovery chart in the middle, and this is February the 8th, 2027. This is the date that human design has practitioners have been talking about. And I went and looked at the astrology, of course, because I don't know human design very well. And Pluto is having the return for the first time to that 6 degree 9 minute mark since Uranus discovery on February the 28th, 27. And of course, still squaring the nodes. But I mentioned Haumea, and I'll come back to Haumea again, and Pluto Haumea squares, because they're last ones are in 2028 after this. Haumea's on the south node of the Uranus discovery degree, and Vesta's on the north node. Vesta is often the state, the flame of the actual literal state as well. At a personal level, I always think Vesta is our inner flame of kind of focus and devotion and things. But literally in Rome, the Vestal Virgins kept the flame burning, or the state was going to collapse. So
Well, and isn't that at 27 degrees of Aquarius, isn't that clerical? I'm used to saying it, but I'm trying to be co correct because that is
I
clerical.
know.
But
Well, it's
that's in
well, I know.
opposition with Mars, almost exact opposition with Mars at that
Oh,
point.
wow. Yes, it
Yeah.
is.
Yeah.
She's healing that divine masculine again, for the want of a better word. And she's at 27 degrees, but look who else is at 27 degrees on that
Yeah,
day.
Chiron,
Chiron.
sextile.
And Sextile at the same degree by just 22 minutes, and they're both aspecting Mars in Leo again. And to get really techie, this is conjunct the degree Venus retrograde was retrograde at last summer. So, they're all kind of working together to bring in this new paradigm.
I was going to say, astrology's trying. They're trying. They're trying really hard.
It's quite astounding, to be honest. I hadn't actually noticed Chiron at that degree too. It's just like, whoa. And by then the North Node will have moved back, or the nodes will be in Aquarius and Leo, heading back towards that 6 degree mark. But Mercury's retrograde on that day as well. So it's like the new ideas and things will come in. A lot of new inventions will be kind of ready to go by then, I reckon. So.
Yes, I agree. I think because the North Node being where we're headed, what we want to aim for. So more people taking a look at us all working together in order to get things done. I really feel. And then I think Mercury being a retrograde would be working out that problem.
I think so, yeah. Cupido's at 0 degrees Aquarius too. And Jupiter in Scorpio is also at the 27 degree mark, squaring Mars. So, there's a lot speaking to each other. And Jupiter's retrograde in Scorpio. Last time we had Jupiter in Scorpio was actually when the Me Too movement really kind of rose up again. So kind of purging more of those abuses of power and kind of that kind of energy. Wow. Anyway, amazing.
Yeah,
This again.
a lot of healing energy.
Oh, I think so. And just to go to a little basic numerology, six is a very feminine number too, because it's one of the more curvy numbers. It's also one of Nikola Tesla's numbers. It's 369 thing, but anyway. So on to Carrot-Clo. So first, this is where Chiron crossed Saturn's orbit in January of 1992 at 6 Leo, and opposing Saturn pretty much just a little bit before that, because and so they were working together because Chiron came and broke through those previous boundaries again. Saturn ruling Capricorn, which was the structures that we've been talking about, and there was huge Capricorn energy at that point as well again back then. And then just 5 years later, oh my God, look at this chart! I just love this chart so much. But I'll let Dawn have a talk about this one.
Well, I love that you point out it's the isn't it the six-pointed star that we get out of this discovery point? You have Mars at almost 6 degrees. Well, you have all the 5 degrees going through. So it's and it when you think of how tight all of those degrees are in order to make that happen. I mean, usually when I see anything that's like a five or a six within like 1 degree, it's something that I take notice of. And we have so many that are the same degree all the time. And usually that's the timing also to me is more to that day. So I think how when you're including things that are fast moving and slow moving and then they're all at the perfect place at the perfect time.
I know.
And the moon, how fast the moon moves, and you look at
I
where it
know.
was.
I know. It's just absolutely astounding. But remember, I mentioned on one of the charts that Haumea was at 2 degrees of Scorpio. Guess who's at 2 degrees of Scorpio? In fact, it's the only water placement apart from the South Node. Is Chiron at, and Haumea, the dwarf planet Haumea, is a creatrix. She's a creation goddess of the Polynesians of Hawaii. She's the mother of Pele, of all their gods and goddesses. And she was regenerative. She could rebirth herself. So she is
Heal the
pure,
land.
Yeah, healing, but she also, bursts volcanoes and things too. So, but she is a creation goddess. And Chiron was there on Caraclo's discovery chart as well. It's just all mind-blowing. And Haumea is conjunct Mars in Caraclo's discovery chart. But over here, look at this Aquarius energy opposing her. Ceres was almost exactly opposite her on the discovery date and on that south node of the USA and on that 6 degree Aquarius point where Mars and Venus are gonna meet. It's undoubted that the USA is gonna change hugely in some way, but I think it is a healing energy. Like Dawn keeps saying, I really don't get the sense of a violent war
Oh.
type revolution. I think it's going to change with ideas and invention and
Yes.
constitutions and things.
And I don't think you get any real change by being warlike. You get the
No.
change when everybody is by I guess when I look at it, if you can't get peace by holding a club over somebody's head. You have to live peacefully in order to
Exactly.
get there. So for
Yep.
me, a lot of this is really going into the healing of what you have to live like you want it to be. You can't just blog about it on a computer. You have to go
No.
do it. You have to live
Yeah.
it. And that's what this is saying is you have to go out and live that if that's what you want.
Yeah.
And I don't
Yeah.
believe I'm thinking more the kind of problems that we're having are going to be technological problems. I think there'll be some cyber stuff going, there'll be cyber
Oh.
attack, that kind of thing. Certainly, I expect it. But I think that they're just like anything else, things will go down, they'll come back up, it'll be inconvenient. And that is what's going to be happening more because it's not so much people on the ground anymore, it's machines.
Yes, exactly. And we have to learn how to use them ethically and for the good of humanity, really. Unfortunately, some people have different ideas about what's good for humanity, but
Well, that's a nice part of Aquarius too, the independent thinker.
yes.
Be an independent thinker.
Yes,
And
exactly.
if you feel that you have to overpower someone to get your viewpoint across, then it's the wrong point of view. That's
Yeah. Exactly. Because we're going from Leo, the king, to, or the royalty, or the lord or lady or whatever, to the people. And the focus, look at this, all this Aquarius, was so much on the people. There was even more Aquarius than there is now. Because, wow.
Well, and even some of the cards that I've been reading, it's lately the Emperor when it's been coming out, it's like the Emperor energy that's been coming out has been like the Emperor isn't going to be in charge anymore. That's what I've been getting in the tarot readings that I've been doing for the collective. I'm like, oh, there are changes coming. And they won't be
Yes.
violent. It'll just
No.
be people like, no, I don't, that's not how I want to work anymore, dollars for hours. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to do my own thing.
I think there could be, things like universal income, things like that coming in. And I think the discovery of clean energy and things like that will definitely help. All those things will come into it. But there was something else I was going to say. Oh yeah, Aquarius. I wrote a blog post like ages ago, before I even realized Caraclo was existed, I think. And I wrote about I just kind of vision like. That we're going to have be ruled, guided, whatever, by councils in future. I don't think there's going to be a head honcho, one head honcho. I think the baton might pass. So there's always kind of somebody saying, okay, it's your turn to speak. But I think, as you said, the emperor is done. It's time for circles and and councils and people, passing the talking stick, if you like, and circles within circles, and maybe even go and ask the clan mother as well, like the old ancients used to do. like the 13 grandmothers that still is in existence. I just kind of feel that energy coming in because I think Aquarius is a real mix of very ancient ways and in a very modern, futuristic way, which is why shamanic practices have come back into fashion, if you like, and so on. People, we're learning there was value in these so-called primitive ways.
And the technology that is coming out now is going to be able to go back and help us translate some of the things that we haven't been able, just when they were talking about the astrology hub had mentioned that all of the Babylonian things that are on cuneiform have only 10%
Yes.
translated. And could we get AI to go in and translate all the rest? What are we missing? One of the things asked, in astrology that could we be missing, or agriculture that we could be missing, or going back and finding other hidden information that AI will help us find that is going to create new ways of dealing with soil, dealing with
Yes.
animals, with all of the growing things. I
Yeah.
think that's
And
very.
fire management and things like that as well, wildfire. Yeah. Yeah. The indigenous peoples of ancient indigenous peoples kind of knew how to work with and live with the land. And I'm not romanticizing them, I'm sure that there was, problems as well, but a lot of those old ways need to be brought in a very new modern way, as you said, and instigated. And I think yes, I think you're right. Probably AI and so forth will help us discover even more from the ancients, the wisdom. Yeah. Just like I have my view that I think some of the ancients could see some of the things we can't see now because we've blotted everything out with electric light.
Well, even under the
Any?
oceans, that's a whole other
Yes.
area of exploration as well.
Oh, absolutely. So we just thought we would share our charts without personal information because, well, Dawn is. Look at this. Dawn's south node and moon is at, well, her moon's at six Aquarius. So just getting that 6 degree hit over and over again. But it's also trine to her Mars. And it's in a quincunx aspect to, I don't know if you call it quincunx or in conjunct. It's. To Venus. So Venus and Mars are square each other. So how do you feel? You probably started to feel
The
how
second,
where this is going.
yeah, I really feel like the second that, I mean, literally, Pluto went into Aquarius on January 20th in the evening, and I felt it immediately. I mean, and it was, for me, it's great energy. That's in my ninth house. It's the house of astrology, exploration, higher, it's foreign countries and personal philosophy. So I am looking with eagerness on all of those things. I also have Saturn on top of my south node, so it's eventually Pluto's going to get there as well. But I always say that when someone gets to our age, and we're at that stage where we've already probably lived a lot of our astrology and it's worked itself out. And as part of our free will. But one of the things that I know I do have coming up is on the 22nd, when the moon is activating Chariclo right before the conjunction. On the conjunction, it's on my North Node.
North Node.
The moon will be on my North Node when that conjunction happens. So for me, I think it's a personal healing thing for me. I have had so many. I didn't come to become a full-time astrologer until, you know, I had lived my life and worked 40 years for a company and raised children. And now I'm coming into this different, completely different stage of my life, completely different, but very exciting. And what I feel is fated for me, because it's going to be my North Node. So this is what I'm going forward with.
So fun fact, Pluto was almost exactly transiting my natal Saturn in Capricorn when I formally started my astrology business. There you go. Saturn is very entrepreneurial. So they I don't know if you'll have to wait till then, but I think maybe the parts of your business that you're doing now will kind of start coming together in a more structured container. At that point, you know, the entrepreneurial journey is one of twists and turns.
And truly, I've been enjoying it. It's been a completely new learning experience, and thank goodness I have sons who are very. I am technologically challenged, so having children who are like, oh, let me tell you how to set up lighting, and I'm like, thank you. how do I do this? How do I do this? So you know, with the help of very educated younger people that have helped me out with this, but I do want to say that when people look at their own charts, that they can take a look at as you know, like in Aquarius, if you look at Aquarius, what is the opposing sign, which would be Leo? What planets do you have in that personally in those areas of your life? And how are those planets speaking to what's going on in your chart and in that whatever houses they happen to be in your chart? And that's a little bit more elevated for astrology for some people, but if you look at what would be squaring and what would be opposing, that's where you're going to get your biggest changes, because it's going to make you change.
Oh yes.
Whereas sextiles and trines are easier.
Yeah, and conjunctions are important, of course.
Yes.
But I find they're more integrative. Kind of the squares and oppositions kind of push for change.
And
like change or be changed.
It's the blending of the energies with conjunctions, and sometimes they say, "Oh, conjunctions will be rough." I find, to me, it's a much smoother thing, unless you have a lot of Saturn issues that you have to get taken care of. If you had, how do they say? So you shouldn't be afraid of your chart if you've been living a well-lived life. It's only if you've been like a bad merchant out there, and then Saturn will take you to task when you come up to certain areas, when it's Saturn goes into square with certain things. That's what happens. So if do not worry if you've been living your life in peace and you know doing the best that you can every day, then to me, I love the idea of the collective being the community. I, being from Minnesota, we have a very, you know, small town, small community. And it's a very, you know everyone, and it's like, oh, something happened. What do you need? So that's the energy that I'm looking forward to for more people being, you know, you can set up your own communities within neighborhoods if you're in a bigger place. So for me, that's what I'm looking for more in Aquarius is the group is going to, everybody's going to have their own individuality. Aquarius is all about being an individual, which I love. And then welcoming that individuality into the group collective, because every little different quirk is needed.
Oh yes, definitely.
Because you need to think, you're going to need to think differently.
Oh my goodness, definitely. And Pluto, just to talk about Pluto transits, because, you know, we're talking immediately about the Venus Mars conjunction next week, but then Pluto's going to move to Dawn's moon and then to a south node and then to a Saturn, and then it's going to aspect Venus and Mars and things. I've had so many Pluto transits, and I really advise people not to do the ugh or the fear, oh, it's going to be awful kind of thing, because Pluto transits can be really rewarding. And my favorite expression for a Pluto transit, which was given to me by my teacher, is that Pluto takes away what you thought was your power and leaves you with what is truly your power. They can be so rewarding. Pluto kind of mines your inner strengths and diamonds, you know, your root strength, really. So don't fear Pluto transits.
And I'm very excited by it all, because I have Chiraclo. That's I'm going to have on my Caraclo, technically Caraclo return. And no, I feel nothing but excitement about Pluto moving through that ninth house. It's going to be, I have so much.
Oh, it's going to be lovely.
I already have travel stuff coming up hugely for me, as well as, you know, all of the astrology things and all of the other things that are going on in my life, and with also the Saturn going through my 10th house of career. So all of these things are happening for me in this beautiful symphony that is going on. And I think that now I'm ready to go in a completely different timeline for myself. One that's still relatable to everybody else in my life, but I'm just going to be doing so much more exploring, and I think it's going to be a beautiful experience.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, I know you will lean in. And to me, that's the beauty of learning to understand your own astrology at a deeper level, instead of, and I'm not saying you have to become an astrologer and take 5-year courses and things. Just get to know your own chart and notice what happens when transits happen, and really notice how you respond to the transits, because, you know, both Dawn and I understand our charts well, and we lean into this transformation instead of fearing it, and feel that excitement. Aquarius energy is so exciting. It's like butterflies coursing all through your body.
Well, and I think too, because I've had readings from other astrologers, because we all do that. And I've had people use Placidus, you know, for my chart, and it does make sense. It's the house system that you're using has its own techniques, and I find her techniques, Louise's techniques, are every bit as true when she's doing and it gives me insights that I might not have looked at before. And I think that's where the value is of keeping an open mind when you're looking at an astrology chart. There's just so much that you can learn. I know that there's even different systems that are used for dream interpretation, that they use for dream interpretation. So it's a fascinating field, and astrology is just such a huge, varied, it's just like world languages. There's all these different languages in the world, but they're beautiful ways to communicate. So I think, you know, take the fact that when you're dealing with someone that has experience with a particular house system, and people go, astrologers will usually take and go with a certain area of the chart that they're going to be exploring, because there's just so many things out there. So whether someone is concentrating on natal charts and explaining those to people, or whether they're doing more of a deep dive into maybe synastry charts, which is also a huge thing. So there's many different avenues that you can, and different astrologers that can explore those avenues with you as well.
And I also have a bit of a theory about all this Pluto through Aquarius and all these other things that we've been talking about, that astrology itself might become more integrated and integrative. There's already many astrologers who are integrating, using both whole sign, which is kind of one side of this current discussion, let's call it, and then the quadrant system, like I use Porphyry and things. To my mind, always work. Whole signs works for some things, great for me. Porphyry works, but more for the kind of deep what's going on in your psyche kind of work that I prefer. But they both work. And I think more and more they're going to get integrated, or there could even be a new system come up with this Aquarian energy, to be quite honest. So
That's
what really matters at what really matters are the planets, I think, and the signs more than the houses anyway. Yeah, and the angles. But so my chart. So this is my highlights. So six Aquarius is at the midpoint of my Caraclo, Centaur Caraclo. I've had my Caraclo return because I'm older. And this is Pholus, another centaur who is kind of like Pandora's box. And if you put six there, that's 369, which is Nikola Tesla's code of numbers. But anyway, who knows what's going to come from that when it gets to six. But also, when all these 6 degree marks start to happen next week, it's square my midheaven and square my IC. No matter what house system you use, that's still my midheaven and my IC. Midheaven being my public visibility, the IC being the home, my inner life, my inner self. So I am getting a big T square, which is going to be huge. And it's also going to square my Venus and Neptune. The zero ones are already working, my Mercury, my Juno, my nodes. And I also have Mars will be aspected by 6 degrees, as will my Pluto. Most
So
of our Plutos. And
your Mars will be
I'm
sextiling the
six.
sextiling the conjunction that's going to happen with Mars and Venus. Yeah.
And I feel it. I feel, as if you don't understand astrology, I have a very mutable chart anyway, so I'm always changing, especially with my Gemini moon. But I feel a big shift in direction coming on. It's already started to happen. I'm not going to go into details, but I really do feel this Venus Mars conjunction, sextile my Mars and square my midheaven and IC huge. Because of course my midheaven is Scorpio, which is Mars ruled, and my IC is Taurus, which is Venus ruled. So I really feel like it's all integrating within me. It's not an out there thing. It's definitely an in me thing, which will ripple out, but it's not coming from anywhere else. It's
It's so
yeah,
much easier
it's
when you
quite.
have a lot of beautiful, though. I mean, it just makes it a lot easier when the when
Oh.
as a as opposed to, all of the fixed energy that we've had like a couple years ago, where there was so much fixed energy that was going on, and it made change really, really tough.
Yeah.
But now I think it's gotten a lot. I think it'll get a lot easier, and then you're going to have be
I
going
do.
Pisces North Node, which I think is going to be great. I love that.
Oh yeah. 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 Incidentally, which calculation do you use for nodes? Just out of interest.
I usually use the True Node.
Oh,
Just
me too.
yeah, that's what I usually use. And I
Yeah.
had somebody ask me about the difference between the two, and I'm like, well, one is an average, although I've heard, just lately people talking about using the mean node a little bit more, but I've always used the True Node, and I'm very happy with it. Mine, if I use it, the mean node for my chart and just took a look at it, and there wasn't really hardly any difference, but I was born at a full moon, so it's not going to be
My nodes change signs if I go to mean node. So the south nodes in Pisces and the north nodes in Virgo, if I use the mean calculation.
I
But
don't you
again,
don't you think for the birth chart,
always work.
yeah, but don't you think for the birth chart, for me, I feel like the true node, because it's an exact when you drew your first breath. That's why I think for the natal chart, that's why I prefer it. Because it's
Yeah,
exact.
me too. Me too. Although one of my favorite astrologers ever, Stephen Forrest, I interviewed him on my YouTube channel, and he gave me a good argument about how the mean nodes would work in my chart, Pisces and Virgo. So perhaps I'm both. That's very Gemini too. That's very lover's goddess. Like
Yeah, that's true.
I can be, and
Yeah.
it's very Aquarian. I can be both.
And see both sides.
So and
And but like
yeah.
but enjoying learning is the other part of Gemini too, the all of and you have the Gemini moons.
Exactly. So are there any last thoughts? I mean, I think we've covered so much. There will be a transcript with this. I will upload it, into YouTube and send it to Dawn so she can upload it, or one of her sons can.
Thank you, Josh. I really think that for us, just highlighting these points, there's so many things in astrology that can get so complicated, but just taking the simple things of looking at the 0 6 and Chariclo and Chiron and Mars and Venus all being involved in as many times as they keep showing up in the exact changing of the of these positions, but they're still using those same degrees. Being Aquarius in Leo, I think it's a very magical time of healing going on. And because Pluto, I think, has basically set everybody straight before they went into the playroom, that that everybody is like, okay, be on your best behavior because we all have to get along. And that's the feeling that I get. I really feel that that is the big message coming through is, and if you want to, you just have to be, you have to have your own opinion. Aquarius encourages that, have your own opinion, but you also have to be able to work with the collective. So you have to take it at that.
Some compromise,
There
meeting in the
is.
middle,
There
but
is.
not in a Libra way of being codependent, not changing your view, but realizing, there has to be some integration. I always think of Aquarius as very integrative like that. I've still got my
Well, an
wristband on
Aquarian,
from seeing you
yeah.
two.
Well, and an Aquarian will hold because they're fixed. They will hold their opinion. I mean, this
Oh,
is
yes.
okay. I'll do this for the collective thing, but I still hold my own opinion, and they will say so, which is what you still
Yes.
want.
Oh, yeah. I always laugh about Aquarians. I always think they hate humans but love humanity.
I have two sisters that have Aquarius sons, and I have the Aquarius moon, and I love it. I love my Aquarius moon because it's like, yeah, are you a bit odd in the things that you like? Yes, but Aquarius moon, don't care, what other people think. So, and I'm happy.
My youngest daughter has an Aquarius moon conjunct Uranus by 1 degree.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Rebel.
Oh, yes. But she's lovely with it. She's
Oh
not a,
yeah. Well, thank you
And
very
she's
much.
very sure, very certain. Yes, thank you for doing this with me. This has been fun.
And I think we'll have a lot of things coming up in the future. There's I learned a lot about asteroids from Louise, and hopefully in the future we'll be able to take a look at those a little bit more in depth and what they mean in your chart, as well as she's writing some very interesting books, including on Ceres, which I think is going to be fascinating when it comes out. So we'll have to make sure we have a special talk about that when the time comes. So I'm going to push you on your book now because of that.
We got a bit distracted by a house purchase, but that's all right. I'll
But
get back to it.
we'll put each other's information on each of our web websites or channels or whatever you want to call them, because I can't remember. And that way you can take a look at it, what we each do. So I really enjoyed this so much. Thank you, Louise, for doing
Me
this.
too. Me too, Dawn. No, thank you. Well, we kind of discovered it all together, so it made sense to talk about it together. So, all right. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. And this will be on Dawn's channel and my YouTube channel. It'll also be on my Spotify podcast. So, which goes out to like Apple Podcasts and so on. So you'll be able to find this in many places. And Spotify has video podcasts now. So, right. Okay. So thanks, Dawn. Have a great evening.
Bye.
Bye.